Amen. Jesus is coming soon. Last week we talked about let me think of how to pronounce that.
Eminency.
I'm not saying that right. He's imminent. His coming is imminent. It's not immediate. It's imminent. There's a difference between the two. And Paul emphasized the imminence of Christ's return when he wrote to the church in Thessalonica, which we read over and over again in 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 9. One of my favorite verses. You brethren, I don't think I gave that to you, did I? No, that's, I haven't got that far. I was going to today, but I didn't get anything done today. I slept on the job, didn't do anything. So, no, it's not. It's not here. No, it's 4 through 9. It says this. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. For those who sleep, no, let us not sleep as others do. Let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he emphasizes we're going to obtain what? Salvation, right? And he doesn't say it's salvation by faith, as it does in other places. He says, we will be saved. And when you're saved, if your house is burning and someone's running by and you can't get out and they pull you out, they have saved you. If they leave you in, you're not saved, right? They have to pull you out for you to be saved. So he calls us children of light. We're not children of darkness. We're children of light. And that means we are what? Because remember, this whole chapter, from the middle of chapter 4 till the end of chapter 5, he's making a difference between those who are saved and those who are not saved. So children of light would be those who are saved, and children of darkness, not saved. Okay? So, for what? Why is it important then when he says we need to watch and be sober? Why is that important? Yeah. What did Jesus say about the man of the house watching? If he knew what hour the thief would come, he would be ready for it. But if he doesn't know, he can't be ready. Right? Okay? So, my eternal future has already been sealed by faith, but it has not yet been accomplished. Okay? We've emphasized that in the entire 11 years I've been here. We're saved by faith, but we're not saved yet because we're still here. We're still subject to temptation. We're still subject to the wiles of the enemy. When we get out of here, or like my parents, they passed away and Nikki passed away, they're no longer subject to any of that. They have been saved. They're out of here. So my eternal future is not in doubt. It's been sealed by the blood of Jesus. But I've got to understand that there is a reason for readiness when it comes to the rapture. There's a reason for readiness when it comes to death. So someone said, oh yeah, but on my deathbed, I'll just ask the Lord to save me. Well, what if it's a heart attack and you get no warning? Right? Yeah. Or a car accident. Someone hits you from behind. And what was the name of the Cadillac? The one that got hit?
Yes.
No, the name of the Cadillac. You had a name. No, it had a name.
Oh, her name.
Her name, yeah.
Brown Betty.
What?
Brown Betty.
Brown Betty. And the new one is?
Stella.
So, you did not know you were going to get hit. Did you see him in the rearview mirror? You did. Did you think he was going to stop?
I said, dear Lord, he's not going to stop.
And he did. But what I'm saying is, you can be gone in an instant of time. Yeah. You can be gone, and you may not have a chance to even say, Lord, save me. May not even have a second. Well, the rapture won't give you any chance to say, Lord, save me. How fast will the rapture be? Yeah, but when you say blink of an eye, it's misleading. Because actually, it's the time it takes light to be reflected in the iris of the eye. Yeah. Yeah, it's faster than a blink of an eye. Yeah. So it's there won't be any time to make any changes. Okay? Now, the answer on why I should be sober and why I should watch is tied to the wrath of God. It's tied to the wrath of God. Wrath is only promised for what group of people? The unsaved. And primarily those who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who the wrath is appointed to. Not to you and not to me. He would be a terrible heavenly father if he treated those who obey the same way as he treats those who disobey. Right? You know, if you're in Walmart and a mother's got two children and she says to one, don't touch the candy, and he doesn't. And she says to the other, don't touch the candy, and he's grabbing all he can, and she hits both of them. What would you think? Something wrong with that person, right? Okay? The day of God's judgment is coming. This is what the world refuses to believe. A God of love. Have you ever heard this one? How in the world can a God of love damn anybody to hell? Well, he doesn't. Because he's made all provision for no one to go to hell. There is no reason on planet Earth for anybody to go to hell. Salvation is not hard. Salvation is not costly. Salvation is the best of everything. See? The believers in Thessalonica would not experience the wrath because of the rapture. I will not experience the wrath of God because of the rapture. Now, so Paul charges them. He says, I want you to invest your time in being ready. Right? Now, what were Jesus' last words? Did I put it in your notes, Revelation 22:20? It may be somewhere. Jesus says this. He says, surely I come quickly. Right? I'm coming. I'm coming quickly. It's imminent, my coming is. Now, that's a reality we need to remember as believers. We don't need to wait for a sign. We don't need to wait for another prophecy to be fulfilled. Incidentally, there are no prophecies yet to be fulfilled for the rapture of the church. They have all been fulfilled. I'm not looking for a sign. I'm looking for a Savior. Somebody that's going to get me out of here. All right, I'll give you some scripture verses. Read them out of whatever version you want to read them out of. But of course, the King James is the most correct, right, Joel?
Well, I don't think so.
mistakes in teaching us that it's by faith. See, I can't take that verse and separate it from the verses where it says, for by faith are you saved through grace. This not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? So that verse must agree with all other verses.
In 1 Corinthians 1:18 it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish.
Foolishness. Yes.
But unto us which are saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the King James.
Yeah, we are saved.
The good version say, be saved.
No, we are saved. The minute I accepted the Lord as my Savior, I was saved. Yeah, well, when you consider the correct definition of the word saved, then you have to add faith to it, because Paul said, for by faith are you saved through grace, right? Okay, so he doesn't say being saved, he said you are saved by faith. But I'm still here. So what has he saved me from? He has saved me from the judgment to come.
Well, when I got saved, I was different. That's what I call being saved.
Correct, but you're still here.
But I still have to watch it.
No, you, at any moment in time, Joel, you could say, forget God, I'm out of here. You have that ability. You're not going to, but you have that ability. You have that choice. That's one of your choices. Right? It's just like the young man sees a gorgeous woman coming down the street. She makes a pass at him. And so he goes and takes her to bed. He made a choice. Right? He had two choices he could have made, yes or no. He made the choice, yes. See, you have a choice. Every day, you and I go through a series of choices.
There's some people that say, God forgive us of all our sins, plus all those we might.
Yeah, once saved, always saved. Yeah. Yeah, I can live any way I want and still go to heaven. The big problem with that is that's not substantiated anywhere in Scripture. Nowhere in Scripture. Self-discipline is a fact of the Christian life, correct? Correct? And if I can live any way I want, there's no self-discipline in that. If I go any way the wind's blowing, there's no self-discipline in that. There's self-discipline when I say no to that which I could do and I might want to do in the flesh, but it's not convenient for me to do. Right? So when I think of saved, I've used the illustration hundreds of times that you fall overboard on that cruise that you're on. And someone sees you and they throw you a life preserver. Right? And you put it around your shoulders, and there you are, bobbing in the water. And you say to yourself, phew, I'm saved. No, you're not. A shark could come along and take both legs off. Right? Yeah? Or the rope might break. And there you bob in the ocean until you die. Now, when are you truly saved? No, when they stop the ship and they pull you back on board. Yeah, when you're hauled to safety. So yes, I'm saved. I am saved, right? I have the choice. Any moment I want, I could turn my back on the Lord and go astray. I could do that because I have that choice. He doesn't make me a robot just because he saves me. Okay? He makes me an individual with the intelligent resources to say no to sin and say yes to the obedience of his word. Because the obedience of his word is not tough. The devil makes it tough when he emphasizes how much we're missing. Isn't that something? Always emphasizing what you're missing and not what you have. Right? What makes more sense? If you're missing it, you don't have it. No big deal. Ignore it. Emphasize on what you have. See? So Luke 21:28. Joel, can you find that? Luke 21:28. And let's see, Xiao Yang, will you find Romans 8:23? Anyone you want. We're not on any page. You got to find it. Romans 8:23. Romans 8:23. And Leah, 1 Corinthians 1:7. 1 Corinthians 1:7. And Jenny, 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. And Caroline, Philippians 3:20. Maureen, 1 Thessalonians 5:2. No, we already read that. So do Titus 2:13. Titus 2:13. And Peter, Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25. And let's see, possible, James 5:8. And do 5:9 too, please. And then Lou, 1 Peter 4:7. 1 Peter 4:7, and I'll do Revelation 22:7. All right, so let's see what the word says about this thing of imminency. Luke 21:28.
And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh.
Wow. That means it's close, right? Just around the corner. Romans 8:23, Xiao Yang.
We ourselves, we are the first fruits of the Spirit, growing worthy as we wait eagerly for adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies.
Eagerly awaiting for the adoption, right? We're eagerly awaiting for the adoption. 1 Corinthians 1:7.
So that ye come behind and know him, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and the last one. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorporeal, and we shall be changed.
Changed how fast? In a moment, twinkling of an eye. Philippians 3:20.
For our conversation is in heaven, whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Notice how we're looking, we're eagerly waiting, and it could come any moment. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, we read, and I will read that again. We are children of light, not sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Titus 2:13.
While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes. And Hebrews 10:25.
Let us not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching.
Good night. Read the next verse.
If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is done.
Wow. And that is attached to church attendance, is it not? Yeah, what does he say? What does he say?
Not forsaking the assembly.
Yeah, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And much more so as you see the day approaching. So the closeness of the coming of the Lord should guarantee a more faithful attendance to the Lord's house, because we're getting ready and we are obligated by the word of God to encourage one another, even much more as we see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth, the King James says there remains no more sacrifice for sin.
It says, but don't we be all the letter they keep on saying?
No.
No.
No, we're not supposed to.
What
is Galatians, the first chapter? Who deceived you? He says. Shall we sin that grace abound? God forbid. The sinning willfully there is he's talking about not assembling together. Because that became an epidemic at the close of the first century of the church, just like it's an epidemic now. Because let's face it, sometimes it's a lot easier to stay home than to come to church. I mean, I'm not dumb enough to know that sometimes it's a chore. I ate tonight, sat in my chair, leaned it back, and my eyes closed, and I felt darkness closing in around me, and I had to shake myself and make the chair go upright and stop right now, because I would have fallen sound asleep. I was tired. I was tired. Okay, James 5:8. Yes, Xiao Yang. I'm sorry. Wait 1 second. Yes, Xiao Yang.
So you said like that he was talking about seeing the deer was about not getting together.
Yes.
It's not talking about the previous verses. That was drawn near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us confess to the conscience. So is he not talking about do not have a sinful mind and do not
yes, he's talking about all that. Yes.
More than just getting together.
Yeah, he's talking about all that. But what a lot of people don't understand is that getting together makes that part easier. You become like who you surround yourself with. Have you ever noticed the mob? Psychology? Have you watched it? Just a few people will form, right? And then more people form, and it becomes, and it gets more boisterous, and it gets worse and worse and worse. Yeah. It's the way we are. It's the way we're made. We're made to be together. We're not made to be solitary figures. Now, there are people who are, but it's not natural. Because that's not the way we're made. We're made in the image of God. The purpose for which God created us was to have fellowship with Him. He wanted to have somebody He could have fellowship with, somebody He could commune with. So if you go through the Word of God, it's an interesting study to do. When you're reading through the Word of God in your devotions from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, just mark down all the references that have to do with us getting together and supporting one another. You'll find out there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. In fact, we're to admonish one another. And admonishing one another, anybody know what that is? What is admonishing one another? Warning, encouraging, counseling. Yeah, you're going down the wrong road. Smarten up and fly right. Right? Now, admonishing one another is easier face to face than via text. Yeah, because via text, you don't know what's happening. You can't hug them. You can't say, I love you. I need to help you with this. See? Isn't it interesting that the more separate we are with technology today, the higher the crime rate is? Did you ever notice that? We got more cameras in the streets, right? We got more technology to communicate. And yet crime is higher, and sometimes it takes longer to solve than it used to. Right? Now, you guys probably can't remember, you folks, I'm sorry, shouldn't use guys. You folks probably can't remember when it used to be in the small towns of northern Maine, You didn't want to do something wrong because the neighbor's going to see it and your mother's going to find out. What's that, Maureen? Yeah, yeah. And it was just common. Everybody was considered a potential parent. Right? Not anymore. But look how much better our life was. I got a friend, and this isn't too long ago. We were pastoring 1978 to 1982 in Bucksport, Maine. And he bought a brand new Ford pickup, XLT, so it wasn't the bottom of the line, four-wheel drive. And they gave it to him. What's that, Leah? Well, the dealership gave him a key ring, like they do, right, with advertisement, and the key. And he said, take that thing off. Just take the key and put it in the ignition because I'll never take it out. And he never took the key out of the ignition. Try that today here. Go get ready to go get another vehicle. Right? That Subaru would be down the road, would it not, Lou? Maybe you ought to do that with that Explorer, Peter, and go down the road. Huh? Put a lot of insurance on it. James 5:8 and 5:9. Where's the judge? He's standing at the door, right? And the coming of the Lord is when? At hand. Anytime, any moment. Right? Right? 1 Peter 4:7.
But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch ye not in prayer.
The end of, how long ago was that verse written? Probably 2,000 years ago. And the coming of the Lord is what? At hand. And they believed it. That's the reason the world was evangelized during their lifetime. The whole then known world. Because they believed beyond a shadow of a doubt he was coming back. And then Revelation 22:20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. The King James says, surely I come quickly. Surely I am coming soon. Okay? Now, Matthew 5:18. Can someone find that? Matthew 5, verse 18. The first person to find it, read. So everything's going to happen just the way it said, right? Now let's go to my favorite scripture about the rapture of the church, and let's look at the pronouns. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's just look at the pronouns. I love the pronouns. They're important, very, very important. He says in verse 13. I would not have you. So who's he talking to? Yeah, you. Yes. To be ignorant, brothers. That's not a pronoun. Concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. There's two groups of people in that verse, is there not? There's us with hope and those without hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. That's a key verse. God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. The only place that happens is at the rapture. The only place. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are, that we, you and me, who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we be forever with the Lord. Now, I want you to notice someone said, the dead rise first because I have to go further. They have to come out of the ground and they have to catch up to where we are. They're 6 feet under. Well, God's going to put their bodies back together. How long will it take God to put their bodies back together? Split second, right? What was that, Peter? Oh, Joel? Who said something? Was it Joel? Instantaneously. Amen. Then, okay. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And then chapter 5. Concerning the times and the seasons, brothers. Who's he talking to? Saved or unsaved?
Saved.
You, oh, there it is, have no need that I write to you. I love that verse. I love that verse because it tells me that we're going to know that the rapture's getting ready to take place. God's going to give me enough time to call Peter. So no need that I write to you. Why does he not feel it? Was Paul stupid? He was brilliant. And yet he says, I don't need to write to you. Why? Well, he answers the old question. For you know perfectly, you, that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now the key is, for whom? For when they, are they the same as you? Are they the same as us? So it's another group of people. Another entirely different group of people. When they say peace and safety, what are they saying now? What do they want for? I guarantee you that at the end of this year, when you hear what people want as a Christmas gift for the world, they're going to say peace. Because they always do every year. They want peace. Especially after what happened in Syria. What's happening in the Middle East, what's happening in Crimea, Ukraine, peace. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon us. You? No, them. As labor upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. That has nothing to do with you and I. Nothing to do with you and I. Paul makes it so very plain. And then I love verse 4, one of my favorite verses, got it underlined here and in every Bible. But you, brothers, now he's back to you. Now he's left they behind and he's come over to you. Are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. But you are not in darkness that this day should overtake you as a thief. And then he goes on, you are all sons of light. And sons of the day, you're not of the night. Okay? All right? Pronouns are important. And the conjugation of that scripture is so vitally important. Why does he keep saying we? Why does he keep saying you? He wants there to be a difference. Do you know what the problem was with the church in Thessalonica? They had swallowed the Kool-Aid that Jesus wasn't going to come, that he was tearing his coming. And the early church went through a whole phase of that where they were not as ready as they once were, because there was a delay, right? Has anybody ever flown somewhere and there's been a delay? Yeah, not too wise to go trucking off somewhere and get a sandwich at Burger King, if there is one, right? We stay at the gate, we wait, right? Some people, they change the gate and they don't pay attention. Right, Lou?
Some people think they know where the gate is.
Yeah, yeah. They pay attention to what the internet says. You know, I've never trusted what Leah will tell you. We get our boarding pass and it says gate, and I stop and check the monitor. I don't trust anybody. No, no. And then you got to sit close to the podium where they're going to come for boarding, because that's where they come to make an announcement if they change the gate, right? So it's very important here, we who are alive and remain, we shall always be with the Lord. I like that. They. John MacArthur says this: when the Apostle Paul described the Lord's coming for the church, he used personal pronouns that show he clearly was convinced he himself might be among those that are caught up. He was convinced he himself might be among those who would be caught up alive to meet the Lord. You get that from that verse. Paul believed that he would return during his lifetime. He expected the Lord to return. They all did. Remember what the angel told them? Anybody tell me what the angel told them? Yeah. Shall return in like manner. This same Jesus. And they believed it would happen in their lifetime. Isn't it interesting that he told them, this generation shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. And they were convinced he was talking about their generation. Now, the fact that Jesus did not initiate the rapture in the first century is not the point. What's important is understanding, as Paul did, that Jesus can come at any moment. Imminent. He's delaying for one purpose and one purpose only. What's that purpose? So that you'll smarten up and fly right? No. Yeah. So that all those who might be saved are saved. Right?
So that there'd be a fixed population in heaven.
What's that?
There'd be like a fixed population in heaven.
No. A fixed population?
Yeah. Like, everyone could save the
earth. Except that John, when he saw them, he said they couldn't be counted. That it was impossible to do a census. Yeah, that it was impossible to do a census.
No, I mean, like, you know, because there hasn't been a rapture yet, so the people living on earth are still able to be saved. So whenever the rapture happens, and then those people that are in heaven afterwards, when everything's, you know, done, then that would be the number.
Yeah, except that after the rapture, there'll be 7 years where they're preaching during the tribulation people. tribulation period and people are being saved. We're not doing the preaching, but the preaching's being done.
Right, but eventually there'll be the American.
Yeah, that's at the end of the millennium, after the judgment. That's when that's going to burn out. But even during the millennium, we don't know, because there's not a whole lot told to us about the millennium. But even during the millennium, if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, I believe there's people getting saved during the millennium. Yeah. Yeah, Leo's right. There's people born, so they have to come to a decision, a crossroads, where they say yes or no. Because that's what God does. And Paul says we're all without excuse. Why? Romans chapter 1. Why? Because of nature itself. What's that?
We have a conscience.
Yeah, we are, and we have a conscience. Yeah. But it's hard. It's hard to see what God has created and not think that God's great.
There's still going to be, during the millennium, there's going to be families.
Yeah. And people being born. There just won't be people dying.
But
we're God. We're ruling during the millennium. We're the boss. He makes that plain. We will.
So we're not having any.
No, we're not having any what? We're not having any what? Oh, I'm gonna have a lot of fun. How about you, Peter? Ruling and reigning? Yeah, because in heaven, remember, Jenny, in heaven there's no male or female. And we're not given in marriage. We'll know. No, I'm talking about those on earth during the millennium. Not us. Yeah. There's at least, Peter's right, there's at least 2 billion people that go into the millennium. From the tribulation period. They survived the tribulation period.
They survived, but don't they go at all?
No! The final judgment isn't until after the millennium. See, you talk about the mercy of God. I want you to get this. The mercy and grace of God. You've got all these people going through the tribulation period, right? And they go into the millennium. The ones that accept the mark of the beast, they're in trouble. But there's going to be a lot that won't. And they're not going to be killed. Let's face it. If you believe like I do, that the Antichrist is anti-God, right? And if you look down through history at all those who have been anti-God, they're not the brightest bulb in the chandelier, right? Now, he's going to try to pull everybody in, and he's going to try to get everybody, but he's not. It'll be impossible for him to. No, Satan gets loosed at the end of the millennium.
At the end of the millennium?
Yeah. During the millennium, he's bound. Right. But we're talking about those that go into the millennium.
How can you be sinful?
You won't be sinful.
Right.
You won't be, because you can't sin.
Right.
Sin will still be in the heart, but you just can't carry it out. And how do we know it's still in the heart? Because when Satan's let loose, he deceives everybody, or a lot of people. And he arms an army against God. And then that God says, no, I'm done. I've had enough. Finito. And he grabs him and throws him into a lake of fire. That's after the 1,000 years. And then he sets up the great white throne judgment. And he judges everybody. What's that? We're going to be here.
We are.
Yeah, we're the ones ruling and reigning. We're the ones keeping the peace. Yeah. What town do you want? Do you want New York City? I'll talk to the Lord.
I don't want New York City. The people that are here will still be in their flesh.
Identical to them.
But we will have a glorified.
Yeah. And we will. What's that? What's that?
Will they know the people of God in heaven? Will they know that they live in tribulation? Will they know?
Yeah. Remember, there's a whole lot of preaching going on during the tribulation period. There's 144,000. That's a pretty big church, is it not? 144,000? Yeah. And they're all ordained ministers of the gospel and preachers.
Will they know the people that are still in their fleshly bodies, their carnal bodies, will they know that will they recognize us as glorified bodies?
We're not going to be subject to time and space. So we'll be like Jesus was when he returned after the resurrection. They recognized him. They knew who he was. But he could go right through a wall. He could go right through doors. You got to think of it in terms of how Jesus was after the resurrection. That's how we will be during the millennium. We will be God's means of keeping the peace during the millennium.
So we're going to be spirits.
No, not spirits. Was Jesus a spirit? He ate. They saw his wounds. Yeah, they touched him. Oh yeah, they can touch us. They can see us. They can recognize us. Sure, we won't need free will because we have a glorified body. We're just like Jesus was. See? Why would we need free will? We're saved. It's done. We're eternal now. We've got a glorified body. You read it. This mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruption. You read it. Okay? We've got a brand new body. Our brand new body is not subject to anything, just like Jesus's wasn't. But it was recognizable. It could eat. It could go places. It could be places.
So are we going to be trying to convert?
No! No, no. No.
Trying to show them salvation?
No. No. No.
What is our purpose?
Keep the peace. The Bible says rule and reign. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. That means nobody will be able to do anything wrong. And you and I are going to make sure that happens.
So after the tribulation, who remains?
What's that?
The people who remain on the earth after the tribulation, are they saved or not saved?
If they took the mark of the beast, they can never be saved. If they did take the mark of the beast, they go into the millennium, just like people are now.
But the same children that didn't have a choice in the mark may be saved.
Yeah, that's different.
But same thing. After the tribulation, during the millennium, there is going to be people who are not saved, and also people, which means people still have the mark of the beast, and also people who are saved during tribulation. We already gone and come back.
Yeah.
We are going to rule over a group of people who either are not saved, who have the mark of the beast, and who are saved, who have not taken the mark of the beast. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, what about the earth and heaven? Is it going to be new? Is it going to be
no? Earth? That's not till the end of the. That's not till the end of the millennial reign of Christ.
So when Jesus came back, destroyed just the Satan and the, who did he?
What do you mean when he comes back at the end of the millennial reign of Christ?
After the tribulation, he came back.
At the end of the tribulation, he comes back.
Yeah.
Because the Antichrist is about to destroy Jerusalem and Israel. And he says, no way. So he comes back with you and with me. Just the Antichrist. The Bible says he'll bind the Antichrist and the false prophet, and he'll throw them into the lake of fire. Well, the army gets destroyed, but it's mostly, he doesn't come back necessarily for the army. His target is the Antichrist and the false prophet. That's his target. I can read it. And he comes back and he destroys the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. Okay? That's at the end of the tribulation period. Yep.
Wait, so what do you mean by bad people? So like they not get any punishment? So like they...
Oh!
What
do you mean they don't get any punishment?
And then they were persecuting the saints. And
yeah.
After the tribulation, and they're still like when Jesus came back, and they're still like remaining on the earth.
Yeah, but
they're
going to be punished. They're going to be punished. What do you call the lake of fire for all eternity? Pretty
but
severe.
I thought that was like after the fire was done.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, but they're not dying. They're kept unto judgment, the Bible says. They're kept unto judgment.
So they're not just like the one they're doing here.
What's that?
They're not dying in the thousand years.
Yeah, they're not dying. Nobody's dying in the millennial reign of Christ. And everybody's having babies. It's going to be a great time. The millennial is going to be, listen to what it says. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, this is the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, with their armies, verse 19, gathered to wage war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. That is against Jesus, the rider of the white horse. Where in verse 12, I saw the heavens open. There was a white horse. He who sat on it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and wages war. His eyes are as flame of fire. On his head are many crowns. That's when we come back with him. Okay? And then jump over to verse 20. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And these two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. The remnant were slain with the sword, which proceeded out of the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. What's that? The army. The army of the false prophet and the Antichrist. Yeah. And then in verse 1 of chapter 20, and, because remember, the chapters don't exist when this book was originally written. And I saw the angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a little while. Okay? Does that help? We'll continue next week. Yeah, think up your questions.
You know, I think it's important that we recognize that there are two groups of people. It's the during the millennium. It's the those of us that have been redeemed.
Who rule and reign. Who have been raptured out of here.
Those that are still in their fleshly body.
Yeah, yeah. But we're not part of those who are in their fleshly body.
We are walking among them, but we are not part of them.
Whereas Jesus was after the resurrection. He walked among the disciples. He acted like the disciples. They thought he was the same. He was the same, but he was not subject to time and space or any laws of physics. Gonna be cool. If a drone goes flying over, I'll be able to just reach up and grab it right out of the sky. Gonna be too good. Amen? Any other questions?
Yeah, what's he talking about? He says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and Joshua was giving unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, to the word of God. They will return with them. They will reign with Christ a thousand years.
Yeah, those who sit on the throne.
But those are the ones who did not worship the beast.
No, doesn't say that. What does it say? Read it again. Two groups of people there.
And I saw thrones.
Yes.
And they sat upon them.
Yes.
And judgment was given unto them.
Yes.
Same group.
Yes.
And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness.
Another group.
Of Jesus and for the word of God.
Another group. Doesn't say they were sitting on thrones.
Right.
They don't get to sit on thrones because they didn't overcome.
I saw the souls of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image neither his received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ a thousand years.
Yeah, they lived.
The ones sitting on the throne,
they lived. They lived and reigned with Christ, but they're not the ones that are doing the reigning. They're part of the kingdom of Christ during the millennium. Because you have to go into with Christ,
So they have glorified bodies.
Because they've been taken to heaven. They've received their glorified body, but they're not the overcomers. They're not those that were raptured. It's those that are raptured that are given crowns and are made kings and priests unto God. Not those that are killed during the tribulation period. No.
But then again, he says, blessed and holy is the one, he had part of the first resurrection, which would be us.
Yep.
And such the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him a thousand years.
Yeah, that's talking about us. That's not talking about those that were saved out of the tribulation period. There's two groups of people there that you're considering just one. Yeah, read a little more. But couple that with all the promises made to the seven churches, he that overcome. You can't separate what happens there, where you are, with what happened in chapters 1 through 3. See? Because chapters 1 through 3 tell us what the benefits are to going in the rapture. To overcoming here. So that you don't have to go into the tribulation period. So you don't have to be beheaded. Okay? You just go on. Praise God. Yeah. Thrones are not promised to everybody. When you read what he promises to the churches, you'll find out. Thrones are not a blanket promise. Okay? There's degrees of reward. There's degrees of status in heaven.
Right. So the judgment for those that are dead without Christ is not coming until after the thousand years.
After the thousand years. They will be resurrected. They will be resurrected. Yeah.
Are going to be judged before the thousand years.
We get raptured, and we're judged. Our judgment is unique from all other judgments.
Right.
Because in our judgment, there's no book open. We're saved. We're judged according to the works done in the flesh, and we get our reward. Okay? That happens right after the rapture. Okay? Okay, amen. We're going to look to the Lord in prayer.
Just one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a group of peacekeepers or beings that are going to be around through that 1,000 years.
You're
right. Yeah, but there wouldn't be any kind of like peacekeeping like today. They would deviate, like power trips.
No, who's ruling and reigning during the millennial reign of Christ? Jesus is. There's nothing like that. Right, and we really don't have the ability to be able to imagine what it's going to be. Because look what he says, the baby sits in the yard and plays with the viper. I got a pet king cobra, your daughter says when she comes running into the house. Yes, yeah. The lion will lay down with the lamb. I mean, you're not going to have a lion lay down with the lamb, right? They're going to eat each other. Well, no, one's going to eat the other. So, no, it's going to be totally different.